Hey everyone, welcome again to another edition of the Marvel of Horror podcast, where we talk all things past, present, and future as they pertain to the horror genre. I'm your host, your friend, fellow horror enthusiast Bruce Marvel, and on this episode we're going to be talking with my newfound friend Benny Rose, who's the host of the Press for Time podcast, which you can find on Spotify and YouTube. He and I are going to be talking about some of the movies he grew up watching, like his favorite Child's Play 2. We're also going to touch on some of the horror games we loved growing up and some of the modern day horror games that are out there right now. We also touch on the fact that there's going to be a sequel to the modern day classic It Follows called They Follow. Ooh, all really good stuff. So sit back. Thank you for joining us, and I hope see you again soon. You actually do some voiceover stuff for like games, right?
Yep. Yeah, I have a game coming out. Hopefully, we're looking at April, May.
Are you into like the horror games and stuff a lot, or just like?
I'm a diehard indie gamer, and I play a lot of indie horror now on PC because I was console most of my life, but until the last 6 months, I said let me invest in a PC because I know that there's stuff out there. Plus, getting that opportunity with that game, it's only on PC initially, so I need to be able to play it. So I dived in, and I've always known that the indie world was massive for games as a whole, but I didn't realize how big indie horror was.
No, like I said, this is going to be something completely new to me. I can't wait. Like I said, man, you're going to have to definitely bring me up to speed, because like I said, I've been a console game guy my entire life, so I've never played. The only game I've ever played on PC, I think, was like way back. This will tell you how ancient I am. There was a game called Hexen.
I remember Hexen.
Remember Hexen?
I'm old too, bro. I'll be 43 next week. So
okay. So we can be old together, because I'll be 44 next month. So we're good to go. But man, like I said, anytime.
Does this let you know how old I am?
it lets me know how awesome you are.
Well, the fact that it's,
I mean,
that it's
yeah, like, it lets me know how cool you are.
Oh, I appreciate that, but I mean, who knows what this is? Most people don't know. What this is.
Yes, we do. Oh man, this is gonna be fun. So if you can remember, like, I didn't even get a chance to really ask Eddie if you're like a horror guy, but like, what was like your first experience with the horror genre?
So funny enough, Street Trash is definitely the visual memory of like the first weird kind of gore. And I was probably like 6 or 7 at the time. And I remember sneaking into my parents' bedroom. Was kind of weird because it was one door, but then the other side of the room was completely open and connected to the living room. Okay. So I used to kind of sneak in through the door at night when they'd watch a movie, and I'd lay on the bed under the blanket and I'd just watch whatever they were watching because I knew I couldn't. But then around that time is when my dad started just taking me to see horror movies. So like not even just horror, but like Total Recall and, you know, things that kids that age, you know, back then you either did or you didn't.
Oh my God. Your dad and my dad probably could have got together in the day and going bowling. That's how like my dad was. Like my dad wasn't really like into the horror stuff, but
right,
he was always like, all right, man. Yeah. You like, I was probably like, if you were 6, I was 7, you know what I mean? So like, I'm watching, you know, we weren't allowed to watch Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3, but we were allowed to watch Commando.
Oh, I love Commando. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. My friend Carlos and I counted deaths when we were kids.
Oh, like I said, that was the generation that was like, all right, man, you're not allowed to watch Friday the 13th. You're not allowed to watch Nightmare on Elm Street. Well, Dad, Rambo 2 is on. Great, let's watch that. Watch Commando. And then one day, like one time, I'll never forget. Like when I was a kid, like, you know, Predator came out, and it's like, oh man, you know, it's Arnold. It's gonna be some action movie, you know, stuff like that. I'm like, nah, Predator, like as a kid, like legit scary.
Yeah, gory too for its time as well, you know.
So you got, so I see the Street Trash VHS, very awesome. Do you still collect VHSs? Like, what do you got going on, man?
So I don't collect VHS so much. Something like that was kind of like a very special piece that I just happened to find on Macari because I knew I had it as a kid, but then there's a long story about that movie, like the special connection with me, which was because I was so young, I didn't remember it growing up, but I remember scenes. I remember what happened. I remember the toilet scene of the guy sitting on the toilet drinking the Viper and melting, and I remember the wild neon colors and just couldn't think of it. And we're talking now, maybe like 20 years ago, my wife and I, girlfriend at the time, were at Disney of all places. And if you recall in Florida, they used to have Downtown Disney. They call it something else now, but they used to
I've heard
have.
about it. I've never been to Disney.
Okay, that's okay. It's
It's
not
on
for
my
everybody. But they have like the shopping area. So it's not like the parks. And they used to have a Virgin Megastore for those that, showing our age again. That is a store that, used to have vinyl, CDs, DVDs, everything. And one day we were there and we always used to look because that's something my dad and I used to do. And I was like, yeah, we'll look. And we're looking in the horror section as we do because my wife's a big horror person too. So
Nice, that's
that works
awesome.
out. Yeah, that was one of the first things we got together like liking and the same type of music, stuff like that.
Oh my God,
So
like I said,
one thing.
you're like mirroring my life. That's how like me and my wife were in high school.
That's awesome. And
Yeah.
I've been with my wife 22 years this year. So
And I'm like right the same. It's
look
crazy.
at that's awesome. Great minds think alike, dude.
Yes,
Seriously.
they do, sir.
So yeah, we were in Virgin Megastore and I saw like a movie and I saw a cover and that was it. It was like pretty much the guy like holding on to the toilet flusher, like melting into the toilet bowl. And I'm like, that's the damn movie. So I had to buy it. It was like $65 on DVD because back then it was just ridiculous. Had to have it. So I've had that love-hate relationship because it's not the greatest movie, let's be honest. It doesn't stand test the time.
No,
But
it's
last
an
year
acquired taste.
we were treated to a remake.
Yeah.
Not a remake kind of and like continued story almost loose retelling. And I happened to interview the director of the movie last year. So to pay homage to getting the VHS, I got the VHS, which is, just awesome. But then his physical came out of his remake. So I,
That artwork's fucking awesome too, man.
yeah, it's
They
just,
don't
there's nothing like it to
do
me.
shit like that anymore.
That's
You know what
it.
I mean? I'm trying to
But yeah.
think because I want to say I think the remake might be on Shudder, which I got, so I'm gonna try and check it
It
out.
was, I bought it day one because it was only on like Amazon and stuff, but I think it's popped up on other platforms as well. It's way better than the original. Like you can watch it. Like it's really hard to watch the original for just a lot of things that like obviously not just for the times, but very vulgar and a lot of, I'm very tolerant of like just weird and inappropriate stuff, but you watch it and it's just like it's like cringe, really, really bad acting. But it's just like those gore effects, which is something that nobody did, So that was like a big thing that always stuck in my head. But the real memory that I tell everybody is I was 8 years old and I saw Child's Play 2 in the theater with my mom. And that changed my life, that movie.
My parents and my grandparents had what they call back in the day, like the black box, like
Yes.
second
Yeah.
channel.
They used to be like the hot box too.
Yeah, right. This was before, obviously this was way before you could jailbreak
And Apple TV and
Fire
stuff.
Stick or Apple TV. So we had the black box, the hot box, as they say. And I'd always like kind of see these movies. And that was how I was actually able to watch like a lot of horror movies that I should not have been watching because it's summer vacation, you're home all day and your parents are working, and it's like, okay, well, I got the pay channels that are just showing new movies
True.
all day. So I guess I'll check out Child's Play 2, where I'll check out, the Deadpool, Dirty Harry, and I'll check out all the stuff. But that's how I finally saw Child's Play 2.
Okay.
But I remember Child's Play 1. Again, showing how old we are. There was a mall called the man, I forget, Tri-State Mall. It's called the Tri-State Mall by me. It's not there anymore. It's been like kind of done for a long time.
and they had movies there. So like my mom was so I have two brothers. One's 5 years older, one's 6 years older. So me, my two brothers, and my brother Jason, who's the middle brother, his friend, my mom was like, "All right, I'm going shopping. I gotta run some errands. I'm gonna take you guys to the movies. What do you guys want to see?" Well, me and my oldest brother, Eric, we wanted to see They Live because we were big fans of wrestling. We're like, "Man, Roddy Piper's in it."
Right, that's
We
awesome. Yeah.
want to see this movie. So the middle brother Jay and his friend, they went and saw Child's Play. So like when they came out and they told us about it, then it's like, all right, well now we got to see Child's Play, because Child's Play's, no disrespect to John Carpenter, but Child's Play sounds like it was better than the movie we saw, They Live.
Right.
And then yeah, when I saw it, like I was that obviously I'm probably way too young, but yeah, the whole, I mean, I'll never forget the when she realizes there's no batteries in the doll. That's like the
When
scene.
he turns around and he loses it, oh, that's the
Yeah,
best.
oh yeah. And
It's
like
so creepy.
so creepy. And it's so well done. And then and that, to me, that movie still holds up. And then like you said, like Child's Play 2, I remember seeing that, and even at a young age, you're like, wow, they've really upped it up with the way the doll moves, the doll looks, like Chucky, like the special effects with Chucky, it just got like that much better. And the I'll never forget that movie because yeah, the scene where that's the one where they go actually to the toy factory at the end. That's where they kind of have the final showdown, and he gets like remelted, but he's still alive. Ooh.
Yeah, it's like I can literally close my eyes and remember sitting in that theater because there's a lot of context to what makes that memory so special.
Oh man, yeah,
So
let's hear it.
a little thing is when I was a kid, my dad owned a comic book shop.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
So I grew up living in the world of comic books, toys, video games. Before I was born, he had the store, so I kind of grew right into it. And around that time, he started having movie posters that he'd sell and stuff like that. And when he used to get the movie posters, sometimes he would actually get screener passes. So
Nice.
screeners were very rare back then, compared to now.
Yeah.
But my dad had got two tickets for the premiere of Child's Play in like Brooklyn at the time. And my mom, for whatever reason, was like, yeah, I'll take him. I guess she didn't know because it's like about a doll or whatever. So when we were there, I remember it's weird because I think that they say like between 6 and 8 is when you start really remembering your childhood. Like, and I've learned that with my son who's 8 now. Like, he's when we think back, I think like the 6 year, he doesn't remember much before that.
Yeah, it's got
So
me thinking, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, I remember what happened was they did a giveaway in the theater before the movie started. And my mom, they gave everybody bags and she opened the bag and there was like a number in there. She won a Chucky doll. I don't remember like what it looked like. I think it was definitely not like, they made the way they make them now, but I remember having it, loving it, just like, oh, so cool. Then I saw the movie. And then that way that movie ended with just like, him melting and all that stuff. And I remember going home that night, going to bed, my mother tucking me in with that doll. My life changed after that
Yeah,
because, like, I
might as well
just
live in the
learned.
town from Poltergeist at that point.
Well, I built up a new fear. But then at the same time, I was just more intrigued about, like, what else could scare me like that, So I've ended up loving, like, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. Because of the impact that it's made on me. But also, like, I just love Brad Dourif. I just love the
Yeah.
way he created that character. Like, nobody can do that, the way
Wow.
he does. And for me, just, going back as I was younger, I just kept finding that's what, like, irked me more to, like, what else is like this? So I never saw the first one first. So I went back and then I saw, I'm like, oh my God, that one's even worse.
Yeah.
Because
Oh,
it's just
yeah.
a darker tone, like we
Yeah.
had a little more humor in 2, but to me, 2 is Charles E. Ray's peak Chucky. Three,
Yeah, I
three was
agree.
okay, and then we kind of fell off. Like, I'm not a big fan of the scarred Chucky and stuff like that. And then when they started doing the newer ones with his daughter,
Yeah.
they went back to formula. So I was like a little more happy with that tone.
I remember the first three. Pretty good. But I think I remember three just a little bit more than two, only not because three is better, only just because like three, I happened to, I was older, so I just happened to see it like kind of more times. Because that's the one
Right.
they're at the what the like
The
military camp.
military school.
Yeah. And that's when, and you could tell like he's full blown like Freddy Krueger level icon at that point.
Yeah.
He's making a lot of the jokes and stuff like that, like you know what I mean. And then I remember Bride of Chucky coming out, and just kind of like, okay, they kind of just now they're kind of just going full on like comic relief, and that movie actually having a badass soundtrack too.
It totally did. Agreed.
Yeah, I remember like, yeah, Monster Magnet was on. It was like a really good soundtrack. But then after that, I kind of fell off with Chucky. I think the only, honestly, the only Child's Play movie I think I've seen in the last couple of years was like the 2019
Ugh,
which,
the remake.
yeah, I mean,
The buddy. Just
but yeah, and here, like I said, man, like you know, I mean, spoiler alert, everybody out there who hasn't seen it and probably maybe won't see it. It's not that it's a bad movie. It's just it's not. Why call it Child's Play? It's basically,
it's inspired by it.
it's inspired by it, but like it starts getting more into like the AI, like basically Child's Play. You could skip the 2019 Child's Play and just go right to Megan and watch Megan. Better movie. That's same idea. AI is like coming to get you, which yeah, kind of is. But like, where are you with like the like? Do you watch the show at all? The Child's Play show that they were doing a couple of years, like I don't know if it's still going or not.
I started watching it when it first came out. It is canceled now. It was great, I feel, at first. It went a little off the walls, like in a different way than like Bride of Chucky, because they started bringing in like multiple dolls, and then they started going into multiple personalities of the dolls. Having his daughter in there was a cool dynamic, I feel, in the first two movies that they did when they kind of rebooted the movies. But like having her, like, spoiler alert, like there's a big plot twist with his daughter's character that like makes her like very prominent in the show. So she's just becomes a really, really massive part of the story. But it just goes off the walls. You have multiple kid characters as like the Andy replacements. And after a while, it got drawn out, in my opinion. You know, like, I feel like you can tell Chucky stories for a long time, but having the same kid over and over, like they brought Andy back for a little, which was great. They brought Kyle back, which was great for like the fans. But then like once that fizzled, you know, like I'm just like, what else can we do? I feel like Chucky needs to face like Jason or Freddy or somebody. You know, like that's what I think he needs. And but I don't know if they're gonna do anything like that at this point, you know. So I'll still love Chucky. I still love Brad. I'll love the core of what made that series lovable for everybody. But, you know, as I got older and deep diving into plenty of other movies, you know, there's other movies that are very, very near dear to my heart. Like People Under the Stairs. Like,
Oh man, I love
it's a
that.
treasure for me.
I love that movie. Every time my father-in-law loves that movie too, which is crazy because like you if you've seen him or you've met him at first glance, you've like this
Well,
guy
it's yeah. Well, it's another one of those movies for me of seeing it like kind of unknowingly. So I was a little older. It was a small chapter in my life where my family and I moved to Pennsylvania. So we were in like the middle of the woods kind of area where like, you know, there wasn't any houses next to you. And I remember like watching that movie at night. Like I had a tape that was given to me. Like my dad used to have a friend that would give us like blank movies, but like he'd have three movies on it. I don't know if you ever did that
Oh yeah,
as a
big
kid.
time. I do remember getting like just the blank tape with the chicken scratch on the side. It got like maybe three things on it, or you know, and then it's like some of them you could tell like they taped off a TV and they taped
Yes.
something.
Like you'd have the video break up and then it would
Yeah.
just go into something else. It's great. But yeah, I remember seeing that movie, and when I tell you that was the first movie in my life that terrified me.
Oh,
And the re yeah, and the reason it terrified me is because of the context, which is me living in Pennsylvania. I'm like 11 years old. It's like pitch black outside. There's no houses nearby. It's just eerie, creepy. And that movie, being in the urban town, the kid that, lived in a tough neighborhood, like I'd been there before. So like it was very relatable, things like that. And it just felt like something that could happen. You have this crazy person that, just has really dark means and people living under their basement and
yeah,
just like,
keeping
it
prisoners in their basement like that. That shit does happen.
That's what I'm saying. And like I remember like the part that like got me the worst originally was when Ving Rhames got in the house and the dog just like bit the shit out of him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then that was it. Like he was dead. And then they had him in the like thrown in the little hole in the thing in the hole in the basement. And then finding the guys behind the, oh man, just like there was just nothing like it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it left a lasting impression for me because it was just one of those things that like I've learned over the years, some of my favorite movies are the ones that I'm able to see with no preconceived thoughts, no trailers, no knowing what to expect, and just get immersed. Like it's so hard to do that nowadays.
It
So
really is. I feel like lately, like in the last like 10 years, like movies and shows and stuff now, I feel like are showing way more violence and like death to kids on camera than they used to. I brought this up to somebody and they were like, "Nah, it's just 'cause you're a dad, now you notice it more." And I'm like, "I don't know. I kind of feel like that's only half right. I feel like now like there was a movie I was watching. Like I said, there's all kinds of stuff I've picked on or I've picked up lately that I'm just like, no, I can't watch this. I'm sorry. Being a parent like makes you a softy. 'Cause you know what I mean? It's like what else I was like, so it was a movie called oh, there's someone in the back there. It's really creepy.
Of course, my kid.
Okay,
There's
I saw
my
a
kid.
face. I just saw a face. I was like, whoa, what the?
Come on.
So hello.
You could say hi real quick. Come on, we're recording right now. I told you this is not my show. Don't be rude.
What's up, buddy?
This is
Hi.
little Xander,
Xander, great to meet you. Awesome name, by the way.
who's also a horror fan.
But you're doing it right, my
Yeah.
man. What's your
No,
Xander, what's your
all right,
favorite?
if you got nothing,
Which
come on.
what's his favorite horror movie? Is you
He
want
said, "What's your
to
favorite horror movie?" Well, he likes Megan. That was his first,
Okay.
but he's a big Five Nights at Freddy's fan.
Well, there you go.
So obviously that movie, like he's big into the game, and so yeah, like this shirt that I'm wearing is a
Yeah.
design that my team actually made for him for his birthday.
That's awesome.
So if you could tell, it's not so appropriate. It's a little gore, we got a unfortunately, we're talking about
Depletion
kids
of what
getting
we're
injured.
talking about.
Really, really appropriate.
But
Sorry, my kid
no, you're
lost
fine,
train of
dude.
thought.
Dude, it's all good. It's all cool, man. Like I said, man,
I mean, he does it on my show all the time. He
I love
pops
you.
up.
Hey, I love kids and I
He's
can't,
King Cameo.
I'd be such a hypocrite if I didn't tell you like all the times like I'm doing a show and you hear like right now, my kid's in the bath. I'm surprised I don't hear him like yelling and screaming and throwing stuff. But it's like,
Right.
oh, it's just my kid up there. Don't even
That's
worry
cool.
about it.
I
That's awesome.
appreciate it.
Oh, dude, it's all good.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's he's just, hey man, he wants to come. His dad's a cool guy. He wants to come hang out with his dad. What am I going to get mad over that?
I appreciate that. Totally. And it's definitely up his alley, for the most part. So, but yeah,
Is
like you were saying, there was a movie you were
There was a
watching,
movie,
right?
yeah. There was a movie I was watching. I actually got two things. There was a movie I was watching, and I'm pretty sure it's called When Where Evil Lurks or When Evil Lurks. It was like a
Okay.
I think it was like a Mexican horror movie. And it's all like I said, it's done really well, and I was like really into it, but it's like it treats evil like a virus. And just like any kind of like outbreak, you know, like the guy can't contain it. And like when this evil like takes over, the person literally like becomes possessed and goes crazy, and it's affecting things. And so the guy goes to warn like his I'm pretty sure like the scene, because I didn't watch the whole movie. I literally had to turn it off. The
Fair
guy
enough.
goes to warn like his ex-wife or something like that, and she's got kids. And I don't know if they're I'm trying to remember like the movie. I don't know if they were like his kids or not, but they're panning out and you see the little girl and she's like next to a dog. And
I've heard of this movie.
while they're talking, you just see the dog, and it's like the dog's kind of slow, and you're just getting the feeling. And all of a sudden, like the dog gets her, and the next scene, like I mean, it looks real. Like it's
Yeah,
disturbing.
it's brutal. Yeah,
It's very brutal, and
I've read the
I had to turn it
context
off.
of that.
I had to turn it off. I'm like, nah, and I never finished it. Like I never even like turned it back on.
Yeah.
And there was another scene. I don't know if you've seen the I don't know if you've seen like the new Nosferatu movie that came out.
I have not.
Okay, I won't ruin it for you then. I mean, like I said, it's a great movie,
Right.
very well done. But there's a scene in there that I'm like,
Inappropriate.
they didn't need to put it in. And
Right.
my buddy kind of like I'm a Frankenstein guy, Frankenstein monster guy. And he's a Dracula guy. So it's like, and if you say anything bad about like a Dracula film that he's into, or Dracula, he kind of takes it personal.
Right.
Right?
He's passionate about the
He's very
franchise.
passionate. He's very passionate. And I get it, because I'm the same way. I'm like that with Danzig's music. It's like, ah, well, Danzig,
Okay.
shut the fuck up, motherfucker. But no, he like I went and seen it with my wife, and I was gonna go see it with him the next day. And you know, so I saw it, and I dug it. It was a great movie. There are a couple critiques, but like overall, I tell everyone they should see it at least once. Awesome movie, especially if you love vampires and stuff like I do. And he was like, oh, you saw it already? And I was like, yeah, well, I wanted to take my wife to see it. And we got a sitter. That don't happen all the time. It's date night.
Very true.
She wanted to see it. I would have been a lot of trouble if I went and saw this movie with my buddy and not my wife, because she really
Exactly.
wanted to see it. And he was like,
Yep, that makes sense.
right? And I told him, I'm like, yeah, well, you know that one scene I thought was really unnecessary. And he was like, oh, that's just because you're a dad, you're a new dad, you know. They had to show that scene had to be in there. They had to show you how evil this vampire is. And I'm sitting there like, he seemed pretty evil to me before that. Like they just
Right.
it was like kind of it's
You
just kind
could foreshadow things. It doesn't
of
have to be a certain visual context.
Yeah, and I'm kind of worried. Like I wish movies would get back like in the 80s. Sorry, I'm a child of the 80s, but like there's a lot of movies where it's like, hey, we'll put the kids in peril, but they're gonna walk
Right.
away, and we'll
The
yeah.
kids will usually prevail,
Right.
usually.
You know what I mean?
And
Like,
if they don't, it's a mystery.
right. Well, I'll give you a great example. Jurassic Park. The original Jurassic Park, fantastic movie, awesome movie, still holds up. Makes when I go back and watch it, I feel like a kid again. From the just when I hear the music, I'm like, oh, I'm just transported. If they made that same movie today, the raptor would have eaten one of those kids in front of the other kid and traumatized that child for life. That's how they would do it. Now, it wouldn't be the
That
scene.
would be the big plot
That
point.
would be yeah, it's like just for cheap shock and all, like the raptor would either be eating both of them or eat the one in front of the other one, just to be like, oh, for the audience, like, oh my God. But it's like
For the shock value.
the shock value, whether but if you go back and watch the old one, it's like, nah, the shock was there making you think the raptor was going to get them, but they never happened. They just can't, like I said, I don't think Hollywood really knows how to tell a story like that anymore. I don't know how Hollywood can really like, I don't know how, I don't think Hollywood really knows how to like take you into the deep water as far as like suspense and keep you enthralled the whole time, keep your attention span with it. They just got to go to cheap, shock you and all the stuff, and just to get you, like right now we're talking about it, you know, we're talking about all these things,
Yep, it's
you
true.
know, and that's kind of what they're
Right.
called for. I don't think, long story, to make a long story longer, I just don't think they're really good at telling like stories to keep you like immersed for long periods of time anymore.
Right. No, I get that. I mean, I think that there's two sides to the coin of the reasonings that I see people doing that. And one side of it is the shock value. I think, not to defend, because again, I'm not necessarily a fan of when it's done. There are horror movies that kind of focus on all out, no holds barred.
Oh, yeah.
And the mindset, like you said, of you want to know how sick and twisted this killer is. I'll give you an example. If you've ever seen any of the movies, everybody knows the Terrifier franchise now by
Oh,
name,
God, yeah.
at the minimum. So with
We ever.
that movie, yeah, so with that movie, even before Terrifier, I don't know if you're familiar, there was a smaller movie that was made called All Hallows'
Oh,
Eve.
Hallows Eve, yeah. I remember
So,
that like a while. They made that a while ago.
yeah, so I happen to know the original Art the Clown and Damien, because
Nice.
I'm from Staten Island as well. So I know like what they were doing when they were making those movies and things. And you think about, I don't know if you remember seeing them, but at the end of that movie, there is a scene that it's off screen, but
Yeah.
it's the idea of the children basically, he doesn't hold any bounds to even kids at that point. They've
Yeah.
explored that, and I think that he's done a better job than most of not showing it. So like I think he's killed a couple of younger, but like for example, I think Terrifier 3, the Christmas one, in
Yeah.
the beginning, there's a scene where you see the girl hiding after her parents were killed. You don't see what happens, but
Yeah.
like he's been asked at like conventions, it's like, did the girl survive? Like, absolutely not. Like you have to think about the fact he's not going to let her live. We're just not showing it to you. So there is that contrast, that there is some tastefulness that can be done, and those are movies that are over the top gore. I'm a
Yeah.
little desensitized by them at this point, but I can appreciate what he's going for, and it's crazy that the fandom has blown up to what it is, knowing how brutal those movies are.
Again, like I said, it's not for everybody, but these really just over the top brutal fucking kills, that I think that's like a new trend. I mean, I don't know if you've seen it. I haven't watched it all the way through, but I think it's called A Violent Nature. Have you seen that movie or heard about it?
I can't stand it,
Oh,
honestly.
okay.
I call that the walking simulator.
Yes.
V like visually, like it has some really cool deaths, and it's very artsy fartsy for me for a horror movie. So yeah, I went in and I was like, no, it's too long of cuts of like literally watching a transition happen. Like the whole lake scene, like I love the idea,
Yeah.
but it's not for me. Like the idea of him walking through the water, going to the bottom of the water, making it all the way to the end of the lake, and we're filming the entire process. Like it's, nobody's done it. So like I give him a lot of credit for doing something different. But for me, like movies like that, they're a little too drawn out. Like a lot of A24 movies, they don't do it
Oh,
for me.
man.
When it comes to the drawn out aspect, I like when you get to the meat and potatoes, I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. That's just me,
Oh no, I believe me, I have my own I have my own like kind of like A24. It's like it's real,
Good old Hereditary, right?
yeah, it's real gamble I'm taking. Like Hereditary I loved, but there's a couple of movies I the A24 I'm like, nah. But
It's Midsummer is another one.
Yeah, well, so Midsommar, I actually liked more like the second time I saw it. The first time I saw it, I think like I had just come off watching like Hereditary, so I had like really big expectations. I loved Hereditary. That's a great movie. But then, yeah, and plus, like cults are like the thing that cults and things like to hide under the bed are like the two things that scare me the most. Because especially, like, you know what I mean? And cults being
Yeah.
like
It's so realistic, like they exist.
exactly, and like, yeah, being an American and being like in a whole nother country and not doing your research
Like
about
hostile, like a
Apple,
hostile,
like
hostile.
Hostel. Oh my gosh. Ooh, I mean, remember Hostel? Like, at the, there was a time where like Hostel was like the worst movie you could watch. Now,
Yeah.
AIM. It's all the other shit coming out.
I mean, look, you know that there's some bad stuff out there. Like the one that'll always leave the worst aftertaste in my mouth is gonna be Serbian film. Like I
I
can't
can't bring
recommend
myself
that to my
to
worst
watch it.
enemy.
I can't even bring myself to watch it. I watched the like. There's that's on a. I, there's so many movies that I have my I'll watch it once list, and then I'll have I'll never watch it list,
Yeah, it needs to be on the never watch
and
list.
it's on the never watch. Hey, horror fans! Help support the Marvel of Horror podcast by going to our merch shop and getting one of our exclusive items. I remember being a kid and playing Zelda, like the first Legend of Zelda, which is another one of my all-time
Yeah,
favorite games.
same.
Finding the cemetery completely by accident. Yeah.
My son's name, but it's the same
Yup.
premise.
Yup. Eddie, don't take any of this video game stuff out. Damn. But no, yeah, I remember like my mom and her sister. You know what I mean? Like we're kids and we kind of gave up on Zelda. We're like, we don't know where to go. We don't know what the fuck we're doing. And they put it in, and it was like we got all the way. I think we called a hotline to find out where Castle Five was.
The Nintendo
Yeah, oh yeah, we called the hotline. Our parents let us call the hotline to find like the fifth castle. That's how we found that one. And then yeah, my mom and her sister stayed up one night just to play it. And the cemetery we'd been spending weeks looking for, they found by accident. And they're like,
hotline.
"Oh yeah, we just went this way up and this way down. We just went into a pattern and there it is."
Crazy, dude. What's even crazier is that you're mentioning that your mom played it
Well, that was the
because.
thing. Yeah, my mom and her sister, who was like closer to her sister, was like way younger than she was. So her sister would have been like probably in the age to like wanting to kind of check it out.
Right.
That was like the thing to do, man. I was like, I remember like being a kid, and like I'm still young enough to remember like Atari,
I
right?
remember it. I remember my brother having it, and I wasn't allowed to play it. So,
Well, I remember like Atari was like the family thing to do. Like I remember my dad and my brother were like, and he was like, obviously he's a kid. They're playing to see who would get like the high score in like one of the games. Like I that's another thing with like console games. Like like families used to get around and play them. I
true.
don't know if they do that now or not. I don't see being a kid and invite your mom to play Witcher 3.
No, but I do play
Oh,
games with my son, which I love.
that's great though. That's
Yeah,
awesome
like
that you do that.
it's a cool bond. Like my dad did a little bit, but my mom's actually the reason I got into Zelda.
That's awesome.
My mom was a Zelda fan, and my mom was a Gauntlet fan.
Oh,
So,
love too. Oh my God.
yeah.
God,
And
that was cool.
my dad, in the back of his first store, he used to have cabinets, arcade cabinets. So he had Robotron, he had Paperboy, he had Gauntlet. A four-player gauntlet. And I remember my mom used to come home from work. She worked in like telecommunications, so she'd have like the jumpsuit. And I remember she'd come and we'd be playing it together. And I just remember those days, man, of being able to play that. And then when Zelda came out, and I remember, being a little older, obviously, when the 64 came out, but I remember she had bought the 64 with the Zelda Ocarina of Time and like put it on layaway at Toys R Us for me. I remember getting that on a Christmas morning. Like, just so many awesome memories with Zelda over the years. It's really
That's
cool that you said your mom played it too. So another connection we got there.
in your opinion, like what's the best horror video game like out now? If someone were like, hey man, I want to get back into playing some like some horror games, like in your opinion, like what's up there? What's recent?
So, like, it would really depend because just like every other game style now, genre wise, horror has expanded into so many subgenres. So, I have really dived into a lot of different horror genres. Like, there are puzzles, there are narrative, there are first persons, there's traditional slasher games, there's retro pixelated horror games that I absolutely love that mimic the PlayStation 1 or PlayStation 2 graphic style,
Okay.
including old school tank controls like from Resident Evil. I'm a diehard Resident Evil fan, so that's my go-to horror franchise. I had Resident Evil 1 originally on PlayStation day one. It
Yeah,
was my
I
fir
remember.
fir my first video game pre-order ever. So I had but now it's tough. Like I'm really loving all the indie PC games that I'm playing on the horror side, because there's just so many different ones. I'll give a special attention to one called Rewind or Die.
Okay.
Rewind or Die is like PS1 style graphics. It's on P actually, you could play it on console because I played it on PlayStation 5 actually.
Oh, okay.
It's helped put out by a publisher named Puppet Combo. So Puppet Combo makes a ton of slasher inspired horror games, very specific. So like one of them they have is like a crazy Easter bunny. One's like a guy dressed up as Santa that has a talking Christmas tree named Larry that tells him he's got to kill everybody that's naughty. But yeah, Rewind or Die was really special because it basically was the trope of a guy that works in a horror in a video games I'm sorry, a movie shop, like a Blockbuster in the 90s. He's asked to come in on his day off, and when he comes in, there's this crazy stalker guy coming around in a pig mask and basically kidnaps you, and then you have to
No
escape
hell
him.
style.
But it's really gritty. But I love that what happens is when he's coming near you, the music turns into like this crazy rock metal, and it gets tenser and tenser the closer he gets to you. So obviously, if you get away, the music like kind of dwindles down and you get calm along
Okay.
with your heartbeat. So I don't think that enough people have discovered those types of games, but some people don't like to go back. So I know I have a friend that, you know, he can appreciate the older graphic style, but it's like, look at the technology we have now, you know? So there's a mixed bag with that, but there are games that if you're into survival horror, there's a game that I love called Tormented Souls.
Okay.
Very, very Resident Evil inspired, but it has more modern controls. But you can do those old, you know, tank style controls where like up is always walking forward. But same idea of puzzles and things like that. The new Silent Hill remake of Silent Hill 2 is amazing.
Yeah.
It's I did not like Silent Hill 2 when it came out. Because I don't remember it. Like I remember it coming out, because I was actually doing a little bit of ghostwriting in those years, with video game stuff. So I played it in a preview.
Okay.
The only st the like two or three plot points stuck with me. So playing the new one, I'm like, I don't remember any of this. So it clearly didn't have a big impression on me, but I love Silent Hill 1. Love Silent Hill 1. But playing 2 on the modern is really good.
I think I played Silent Hill 1, or like you said, I played like a preview of it like way back in the day, and I was like, oh man, okay, it's cool. I never went back to it.
Okay.
Maybe it's time I should like even the Resident Evil games, like I was actually playing one recently, and I was playing like the remake of two. That was really awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I love like I never played Resident Evil 3, but I loved Resident Evil 4. Like Resident Evil 4 was like so fun. It was so fun to play. Like and even like the old tank, like I went back and got it when they re-put it out with the tank controls. Like I didn't
Yeah.
play the one that they re-released.
Which is also amazing.
Yeah,
So
I heard it's even like harder.
it is. It is.
But it's certainly cool.
I think I've been to Delaware once in my life, which was like back in 2009, maybe 12, like my old rock band that I played in. We did like a little tour, and we did just like 7 days, kind of like up the East Coast, and we went all the way up to New York State. Like we kind of
Okay.
bounced around. We did Delaware. We did I forget where else. We did Massachusetts and stuff like that. It was just like a self. We ran our own little tour. It
That's
was a lot of
awesome.
fun. It's the only time I ever did that.
What
So it
was
was like,
the band?
sleep.
Was there?
The name of the band was Ghosts of Eden.
Okay.
So we were a self-proclaimed velvet grunge. So
Self-proclaimed. Yes.
we were like a softer kind of grunge. Had a lot of fun with it. We did a lot of goofy stuff. Like we had a video that we pretty much was inspired by Mario Kart before other people were doing it. So like we're all riding big wheels in adults, like kid big wheels. I'll send that to you. It's a lot of fun. And like we haven't played together in some time, but some of those members are part of my newer project, Neon Arcadia. So like some of us still write music together. But
Awesome.
yeah, a lot of fun. I remember being up there and just seeing other areas is a lot of fun. I love to travel when I can.
That's great. I too was in a rock band at one point.
Nice.
I never got to go. I always wanted to when I was in the band, but I never got a chance to do to go like on a mini tour and stuff like that. I did get to play a couple times out of Delaware, which was fun.
Nice.
Yeah, and the buddy who was in the band's like guy's been like my best friend since high school. He's actually still playing. He's in a band called New Dawn Fades that are and they're touring and kicking ass and doing stuff real Danzig-y, Al
Okay.
style guitars and stuff like that. Real cool stuff. Yeah, I sometimes miss being in a rock band, but
Same. I miss playing live. I do miss that.
Yeah, exactly. Playing live was like always fun. It was always like
You don't get that adrenaline anywhere else, you know?
absolutely not. It's funny. I was just me and my wife were just talking about that, because she does paranormal investigations.
Okay.
And she was talking about that feeling of when you get evidence and stuff like that, if you're on like a case and you actually think you got something and stuff like that. And I was like, oh yeah, it reminds like what you're describing reminds me of like every time I would do a show. Like, man, it took me I was wired. I was like,
Yeah,
man,
sure. All that pain you'd be in, and like back, whatever muscles, you didn't feel it the next day.
all that anxiety because like you're like, man, I don't know if you were like me, but it's like, man, I wanna you're like just like this before you go on, and then you have the show, and it's like,
Yeah, sign of relief.
sign
Yep,
up for
sure.
leave.
You want to make sure you don't screw up, and yeah. I mean, I play drums in that band, so it was a lot of work, a lot of carrying the drums to shows, working with buildings, having equipment or not having equipment, making sure that you're mic'd well, and I miss it for better or worse, all that stuff.
I get you. I got you. Well, real quick before I let you go, two things actually. One, because we were talking about Castlevania earlier, and you said you're a Castlevania fan. Did you hear the news that they're gonna drop news soon that they're working on releasing a Castlevania game by the end of this year? I don't know.
I
I
have
haven't
heard.
heard anything more about it yet.
It is a rumor right now, but I know that Konami is being a little more active than they usually are. So I definitely think that there's potential of either them putting out something that's a remake of sorts, because I think they've done all the collections at this point now, or having another licensed developer get involved. Like, I don't know if you had played the last three that I, or was it two or th yeah, it was three when you count the PlayStation 3 and the there was like a 3DS version. It was I don't remember the names of those games. They played like kind of God of War. They
Well,
had
and I'm glad you because that's exactly where I was going. Like, I didn't play the second one where you actually play as Dracula, and I heard it was awful.
Shadows of something, I think.
Lords of Shadow.
Lords of Shadow. There you
Lords
go.
of Shadow. The
Two,
that's what I
two.
mean. I never play like I know right now if you go to the PlayStation Store or you got PlayStation Plus, you can play it. I'm like, nah. I'm not interested because, like I said, I heard it was awful. But
The first one was great.
the first one was great. I mean, the only The only beef I had with the first Lords of Shadow was like, man, you didn't have, if there was a way where you could basically kind of upgrade your weapon like you can in the other games, I think it would have been like one of the best Castlevania games. I really do. Like, it looked great. The opening where like you got to fight the giant like werewolf and the characters and like the ending and the story, like it was all really cool. It was just, you didn't have like that weapon was it. That whip was it. Like, you didn't get any like real new abilities, couldn't upgrade it. And it was a long game. Like, I think that it was like two discs.
It was, yeah. I loved it. And the one thing I
Yeah, I
think
did
that
too.
Konami has dropped the ball on is I don't know if we'll ever get the Holy War. Like the big war that was always hyped in the stories and all the other games that they talked about and hinted throughout all the portable games. Like the closest we've gotten to like melding the characters, I don't know if you had ever played it. It was originally on Xbox Live and PlayStation 3. It was an online Castlevania game. So there wasn't really story elements to it, but you can play like four or five people together, one map, and you can pick between Simon Belmont, you can pick as Soma Cruz, you can pick as Richter. Like it was like 10 or 15 characters. Big difference, 10, 15, like 10 to 12 characters maybe. There was some DLC, like you can get an 8-bit version of Simon. I'll have to send you, I forget the name of it. I was playing it because if you have a Xbox X or whatever, if you own the game on the Xbox Live before, you can still play it.
Oh, wow.
So it was awesome because like the first level was just one big massive map. You only had like certain ways to go. And if you played multiple people, there's different branching paths. So the camera was a little more panned out. So the character sprites were smaller, but it was the graphics of Symphony of the Night. So, and then there
That's
was
not
like, yeah.
horrible.
And then you basically worked your way to the end of the level to fight a massive boss together.
Yeah, and that sounds awesome. Like, I didn't care for the I didn't care for the ones where it's like a maze and it's small that they were kind of putting out, and it's timed, and you could, it was like a multiplayer game, and you could go through like,
That's the one I'm actually talking
oh, that's the one.
about.
Okay.
So I guess I sold you on it in a different way.
Yeah, well, when you were like, the way you were describing it was like, I was imagining something more like the way you're describing, I was imagining more something like they did a because I think they actually did this, or it was like, it was a mod someone made. They did Castlevania, but they did it like kind of in the style of Diablo.
Okay.
And that's kind of what I thought you were talking about. Like, I think it was like, I remember
There's
seeing being like, oh, wow.
a game that's out there that has to do with vampires, and I think there was a Castlevania
Like a mod.
DLC,
Yeah.
and
I think
then you can
that's
play
what
it as
I.
Alucard and stuff like that. Yeah, no, unfortunately, I'm overselling you on the game that did have the timer and the multiple characters. Like I appreciated having the flexibility of playing all these different characters that I liked in one game because no, they haven't done it with anybody else.
Well, the game, like, here's what I didn't like about the game. Like, the game was cool. Like, I'm not going back. Like, I hate timed games.
Well, I mean, obviously,
I think I
especially
would
when
have
you
liked
start
it
off and you're
more if
level.
like they didn't have a timer and you could just go through the level.
Right.
But like, I mean, like, I still got it and I did play. I mean, it was a lot of fun when you actually played with somebody who like knew the level. Like, my buddy Dan
Right.
and me would play, and I think one of the bosses was like Dracula from Symphony of the Night, right?
Yes,
Like, I thought that
yes.
was pretty cool.
Yeah. And then they did the one thing I really liked that they did was they did an NES level that was part of the DLC, and it was literally the entire game. So one section was level one, two, and you worked your way up all the
Did
way to
it
the.
have a huge section where like you fell down and you're in Frankenstein's level?
That you have that option in there.
Oh,
Yeah,
nice.
crazy, crazy.
I mean, Castlevania is a horror game, so we're staying in the element of horror, even though we kind of got off. But Eddie told me one, and I love this movie too, but he said one of the movies that you were thinking about bringing up and talking about, which is a comes up on the show a lot, is It Follows. Yeah.
Absolutely adore that movie.
Me too.
Love the composer. Disaster Piece is a miracle worker in the world of music and video games, and I had the pleasure of interviewing him. He is an amazing, most talented person, kindest person I've met in the world of music. And
So cool.
that was another movie of that story that I told you of not knowing anything about it. Sat in the theater, those first couple notes hit, and I was like, what the shit is happening right now?
Oh man, talk about an opening scene that just grabs you. 'Cause I was the same way. I saw very little about that movie, and it was like, I remember, like, 'cause that movie came out like right around, so my birthday's in April, and I think like it came out in like maybe April of like 2014 or April of 2016, something like around that time. And I remember like waiting and waiting for that movie to come out. And then we finally, me and my friends finally went to go see it. And it wasn't in all the movie theaters. Like we had to go find that certain movie theater that was showing it. And yeah, like I said, I that just being blown away. I mean, that movie was just like incredible.
It changed my perspective of we have such an expectation over the years of the type of score that could fit a
As
horror movie, and Disaster Piece really flipped it upside down. And the biggest context that makes me appreciate it even more is after meeting him and talking with him, realizing that he's like a scaredy cat. He doesn't like scary stuff and he would prefer not to do scary stuff. So, like, just to see that kind of work come out of somebody that's not their element, I thought was quite surprising and really a testament to his talent because he really was out of his comfort zone and he's done just some cryptic music. He's done video games and stuff prior to that. He's expanded more to TV shows and stuff like that. So he's done a lot. And I'm hoping the sequel is coming. I'm hoping
Yeah.
that he's willing, if they ask him to do it, it would be like just so fitting. Because I remember seeing that movie. And then when that movie ended, I'm like, we need a sequel. We need it right now. It needs to be called They Follow. Like I said it day one. And I waited and I waited and we finally got the announcement and now we're just like on the cusp of waiting for news and I cannot wait.
I cannot, like I said, I was I remember seeing the news that they were going to do it. And because I know they were talking about it, it seemed like they were talking about it for a while before they actually like got the ball rolling. And then when they actually said, "Hey, yeah, they follow, we're gonna do it," and the director's gonna come back, and I think I remember, like, so I'm probably gonna butcher her name, but Maika Monroe, she actually got asked about it when she was doing. I was watching a lot of her interviews when she was promoting Long Legs. And that was another movie I was like, man, I was waiting to come out, and I wanted to see it. And she was so I was really watching her interviews and stuff. And when she announced that like she's coming back for it and the director's coming back for it, I'm like, yeah, I hope they get like that would be great if they come back to do the music. 'Cause yeah, I don't want it to be more of the same of the original, but I definitely want to have that continuity. I just don't know how. I mean, it's like I said, It Follows comes up a lot on my show, and for good reason, because it's one of the best horror movies I think that come out in like the last 10 years,
100%.
and it's still so unique. There's so much stuff I love about that movie. Like it's I say all the time when it comes to that movie, it's the monster's always scary until you see the monster. Well, that's a movie where you see the monster, but you don't really see it. You're not really
It's
seeing
and
it.
it's never the same.
Never the same. And it's that's what and that's what makes it so good and so scary. And just I also like the feeling that like I don't know what year that movie's taking place.
It is definitely in what I would co consider the other worlds. So it's
Yeah.
definitely a hybrid take of various dystopian future slash pasts.
Yeah, I'm like, are they in? Are they? And I'm not complaining. I'm like,
Because we have technology we don't
yeah,
have, but then we
are they
have,
in the 80s or are they?
yeah,
I don't
it's
like.
food for thought.
Yeah, like she's kind of got like with something that's like a phone, but they got like a tube TV.
It's so awesome. It just again, the cleverness is it just has you talking about it,
Right. Even
painting
after
a
all this
picture.
time. Even after all this time. Well, like I said, just like everything, the music is such a character in that movie. And I think a lot of films saw that movie and were like, oh, now we need to go back to like, we need to start like, I think you really saw a boom of like synth music going back into like movies and horror movies because of that film.
Agreed.
I could literally sit here and talk to you for hours.
Same here, and I appreciate that. It's very
Oh,
kind of you.
dude, anytime, man. Anytime. Like, man, dude, come back on my show. Dude, I'll come back on your show. You
Yes, let's
like,
do it.
you know what I mean? If you want us to send you this and you want to use it as like an episode for your show too, that's fine. Like, well, just let me and Eddie know. We'll do that.
Yeah,
Like,
appreciate that.
oh, dude, no problem, man. Like I said, I appreciate you taking the time. Like I said, it was super awesome. And like I said, I didn't even get to, there's so much more I wanted to get to because yeah, there's tons of non-horror stuff I'd love to bet
Agreed.
wrong.
Yeah, no, let's keep in touch online for sure.
Dude, like I said, Benny, it's a pleasure talking to you, man. Definitely keep in touch. And
Same to
I,
you.
yeah, we'll do this again soon, I hope.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.